Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to this place and to this hour that we may worship you as the God of our salvation. Open our hearts to the Holy Spirit's calling as we share your word today, that that word may fill us with joy, that we may realize what a privilege it is to call you Father, to be your children, heirs of salvation. Give us that faith that trusts solely in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My dear friends, fellow redeemed saints of the living God, a question is asked in the gospel lesson this morning or today. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So what do you think? Who would you think about if you were asked that question? Maybe you would think of someone like, well, Moses would certainly fit there, or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, one of the fathers of Israel. Maybe you would go to King David, or maybe to the Apostle Paul, or to Peter, or to one of the disciples. This question was asked of those disciples. They asked Jesus this question. But when they asked the question, they wanted to know which of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Each of them expected to have those positions of importance and honor in Jesus' kingdom. And each of them sure would have liked it if they could have been sitting at Jesus' right or at his left. And if you think about it, that request that they're asking almost seems understandable to us. After all, what do we know about these disciples? They were personally selected by Jesus to be a part of that inner circle known as the 12. They had that unique privilege of observing his ministry. They had lived with him throughout that ministry. They had heard him preach. They had witnessed his miracles and various works of love that he had carried out. They had received special personal instructions at his feet. But they still didn't get it. They failed to understand the concept of greatness in the kingdom of Jesus. So Jesus gave them a lesson about greatness and about humility. And he did it kind of in a way that they would never forget. So Jesus called a little child to come in front of them, into their midst. And Jesus pointed to that child as an example of greatness in the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you must become like this little child. Well, obviously, the main point of comparison is not the differences in ages. The point of comparison that Jesus gives us is the child's humility. Listen to what he said. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility, then, is the emphasis here. It's that basic Christian virtue, almost a virtue without which there are no other virtues in the sight of God himself. So, what is humility? Humility means, first of all, recognizing personal sinfulness, personal unworthiness, and inability to do anything at all to become worthy of God, of standing in his presence, of earning salvation, either entirely on our own or even a little bit of us doing a little bit of it. Humility helps us to depend entirely on God's mercy for forgiveness and salvation. Humility forces us to look at Jesus as the Savior who offered up himself as the one sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for all sin. So humility is not about self-esteem. Humility is about Christ's esteem. Whoever humbles himself, God exalts. And whoever exalts himself, God humbles. And of course, Jesus provides us, I believe, with the perfect example of God-pleasing humility. Think about his life. He came down from all of his heavenly glory, and he became one of us. Jesus was born in a lowly, humble stable. Jesus submitted to all laws that God had given to his nation of Israel, and Jesus never used his divine powers for his own convenience or for his own comfort. Jesus allowed sinful people to mistreat him, to condemn him, yes, even to crucify him. And he did all of that in all humility for you and for me. He did it for us. That was the purpose for which he came into the world. And of course, we know from the Bible that now God has highly exalted him. He is at the right hand of his Father, and there he rules over the whole world for the benefit of his kingdom, of his church. And eventually, the Bible tells us, every knee will bow before him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all who humbly follow him and believe in him in this life will share in that glory in the life to come. So why a child as an example for us to follow? What can we learn from them about humility, about what it means to be a child in the kingdom of God? Jesus wanted his disciples to manifest or show forth in their lives the desirable attributes that can be observed in little children. Let's think about just a couple of those attributes. The first one that we can think about would be simplicity. Little children are readily satisfied with the simple things in life. Think about that now. As long as a baby has proper food, dry diapers, and feels the love of mom and dad when they are held in their arms, that child, for the most part, is very satisfied and content. And even younger children, even into the teen years, think about it. They may have the most expensive, the fanciest toys, but I'm sure everyone who's had children knows that if you get that big appliance box and you put it in the garage and said, go to it, you don't have to look for the kids for day, for hours, because they can do just all sorts of things with that. They can play for hours. Maybe that's why Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. But what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So be satisfied, content with the simple things of life. Another characteristic that we often see in children, teachableness. They want to learn new things. Now, I realize when they get in their teen years, we may question that statement, but for the most part, little children, young children, are willing to listen and to learn. And I think this also applies in their desire to learn about Jesus. They love to hear those wonderful Sunday school stories. I remember my kids when we were in Dow City, Iowa, an older pastor would come and visit. He would sit and the kids would gather around him. He would just tell them these stories. They would just suck it all in. It was so exciting for them to hear this man talk about Jesus. And then think about your children with Vacation Bible School. I know my granddaughter here at Our Redeemer, Maddie, whenever she comes over and plays with Grandma and Grandpa, she put that CD in from the VBS 2 years ago. And we put that in, and that thing is just blaring for us for all that time. They want to sing those songs about Jesus. They love to be a part of that. Certainly that's a wonderful example, I think, for us as adults to learn and to follow in our children. Another characteristic maybe that we can learn from them, and he's talking about here, is trusting. Little children believe what they hear, what they're told by their parents or by their teachers. I think that's why we often talk about it's so important to have a childlike faith. That's a simple faith that trusts God. It means that we're not going to question God in the sense of doubting him. Because of our sinful nature, we all have these questions that we love answered. But we know that God has the answer, and we trust that he knows what's best for us, and that all things will work for the good of those who love him. So in true humility, God calls us to be like children, having a simple, childlike faith, a faith that trusts, and a faith that desires to follow Jesus and to know more and more about him. And then Jesus goes on in this text, "And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." So Jesus talks here about welcoming a little child in his name, and he talks about it as being a service done to him personally. So the question is, how do we do this as a people of God? We welcome little children in Jesus' name, first of all, by recognizing what our children are. Our children are a gift from God. And the Bible talks about the stewardship of the Christian. We are caretakers. Well, God has given you your children, and then he's called you to be that caretaker, to welcome them by taking care of them. So we serve Jesus by providing for the needs of our children. We do that with their clothing, their shelter, their food. All of those things are important, and we do that. And in that way, we are serving God. But also, the greatest way that we are going to serve Jesus is if we bring our children to holy baptism and teach them about the truth about Jesus. We serve Jesus by providing that for them. I think of what God makes that pretty clear, doesn't he? The Apostle Paul writes, "Fathers, do not frustrate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And then Paul also in 2 Timothy says, how from infancy, he's talking to Timothy, says, how from infancy your mom and dad and your grandma have taught you the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So from infancy, we are called as parents and grandparents to teach our children the truth of God's word. My friends, what an awesome responsibility that God has given to us as parents and to us as grandparents to teach our children the way of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It is our responsibility. But the wonderful thing is that we have a God who offers us help in this tremendous responsibility, and he does it through his church. I haven't been here because I've been preaching elsewhere, but I believe next week is the first Sunday for the fall Sunday school season here at Our Redeemer, when our children are going to be taught the truths of God's word. How thankful we as members here should be that we have individuals who are willing and able to assume these responsibilities and assisting us in sharing the faith with our children here at Our Redeemer. And yet when push comes to shove, how important is this really? Listen to what Jesus says. "If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." That's heavy. That's serious, my friends. If we are lacking in Christian humility, we may be guilty of causing little children to sin instead of serving them in Jesus' name. We are personally responsible for children's sin if we neglect to bring them to their Savior in holy baptism. If we fail to give our children Christian training, if we set poor examples of what it means to be a child of God in our homes, if we only rely on others to teach our children the Word of God, and then when they see us, they see us contradict the word of God by the way we speak and the way we act, we are endangering our children or our grandchildren's faith. Even the tiniest of children can believe in Jesus even before they're able to verbalize it. Christian parents and other adults have a solemn obligation to nurture children's faith with the Word of God. It's pretty serious, because it's a tragedy when that does not happen. Such a person, Jesus says, would be better off if he died a violent death before becoming guilty of such a sin. He would be better off if he had a millstone hung around his neck and drowned into the depths of the sea. In other words, it would be better to be destroyed bodily than to be guilty of destroying a child spiritually. It's kind of interesting, that whole section. He does not threaten to punish a negligent parent after the fact. He speaks about doing whatever is necessary to prevent parents from becoming guilty of this great sin. Can you think of any more forceful way that Jesus could impress upon us the seriousness of our responsibility as parents, as adults, as grandparents, as members of congregations, to serve God by serving our children? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Look at your children. Follow their example of humility, of simple childlike faith and trust. If we do that, then perhaps it will be said of each one of you, you are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.